Hear the gospel of Christ. The gospel is written in St. Luke chapter 10, the first 11 verses. After this, the Lord chose another 72 men and sent them out two by two to go ahead of him to every town and place where he himself was about to go. He said to them, "There is a large harvest, but few workers to gather it in. Pray to the owner of the harvest that he will send out workers to gather in his harvest. Go, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse or a beggar's bag or shoes. Don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you go into a house, say first, 'Peace be with this house.' If a peace-loving man lives there, let your greeting of peace remain on him. If not, take back your greeting of peace and stay in that same house, eating and drinking whatever they offer you, for a worker should be given his pay. Don't move around from one house to another. Whenever you go into a town and are made welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in that town, and say to the people there, 'The kingdom of God has come near you.' But whenever you go into a town and are not welcomed, go out in the streets and say, 'Even the dust from your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you.' But remember that the kingdom of God has come near you." This is the gospel of Christ.
I'd like to begin this evening by thanking Bruce very much for giving me the privilege of preaching the sermon at his welcome service tonight. I hope I will do him justice. He told me to dust off both of my sermons and choose the best one and bring it along, and that I gladly do. But it's a joy to be here and a privilege to be sharing in such a very special occasion. I also bring you the greetings of your sisters and brothers in East Anglia. In many ways, we feel a kinship with the Lincoln and Grimsby district. We're both on the edge. We've both got Rotterdam as the next circuit. And we understand what challenging geography there is in the Fens. But it's a joy to be here and to have this opportunity. And this evening I'd like to invite you to come on a journey. A journey that takes us through the pages of the Bible, recognising significant moments, particularly as we heard them read to us in each of our three readings this evening. And I want to contrast what we discover there with our experiences in the church today. That's what I hope we will do, so if you do nod off, you'll at least have a brief idea of what might have been happening. And so let's start at the very beginning. And as they say in The Sound of Music, that's a very good place to start. And the beginning for us was, I suspect, David Perry's decision to seek a new appointment after 11 years of ministry in this district. And I, for one, will miss David from the meetings of district chairs. He was a good colleague and a great advocate for this district. We were also never quite sure what he was going to say next. And this was followed by the decision of the district and conference to appoint Bruce as your next district chair. And what a fine appointment you have made. It isn't just the name that's great, but it's Bruce who's great. A excellent minister and a good friend to so many. And so this day, this celebration, and the things that we mark as Bruce and Karen and their family are welcomed, and as Bruce is inducted into his role, all of this is about change. More change in the district, more change in the life of the church. And change, of course, is one of the buzzwords of the moment. And it's quite right that it should be. For we are living through a time of very significant cultural change. Everything that has been held to be of value or importance seems to have been turned on its head. And I think that's graphically pictured for us when, as the Christmas catalogues now start to arrive, you will find, I'm sure, in whichever catalogue you subscribe to, the opportunity to buy an upside-down Christmas tree. You've probably seen them, you know, like that. Apparently it helps the ornaments stay on better. I don't want to risk it myself. But it's a symptom of the fact that everything seems to have been turned on its head. The very tenets of life seem to have been dragged from their foundations, and this generation is experiencing threats and opportunities the like of which many of us would never have dreamed of, never mind expected. And of course, one of the ways of coping have been the jokes about change, such as how many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? I suspect it's the same answer whether you're an Anglican, a Baptist, a Catholic, or whatever. But I think the response of a former Baptist colleague is the best when he said that Baptists don't like change, especially on the collection plate. The children of Israel were on a journey. A journey from slavery in Egypt to the Promised Land. They had experienced incredible change. And things weren't working out quite as well as Moses, Aaron, Miriam, and the people had hoped. Because of their disobedience, because of their lack of faith, God allowed them to wander in the desert for more years than they could count. The whole of life had been turned upside down. The future was uncertain, so much so that they yearned to go back to Egypt, to return to slavery and the securities of the life that they once knew. And as we journey through life, as we experience this time of change, we feel the same kind of anguish that the children of Israel experienced. We don't know where we're going, or so it seems. We are not sure if we can trust our leaders, especially when he's a young upstart. I speak for myself, of course. And we yearn for the ways of the past, and we yearn for the certainties and security that the past gave to us. And that's no more so true than it is in the church. The influence of the church has greatly diminished. Organized religion has been downgraded, and the church is viewed by many as more of a threat than it is a place of sanctuary. Church people, people of faith, people like you are held in suspicion by some. And whilst the gospel of Jesus is as relevant today as it has always been, the people who seek to live out the gospel are being increasingly sidelined. And we ministers, we often hear the plea to return to the days of yore, when churches were full and congregations were even more enthusiastic than this one. When Sunday schools and youth clubs and all kinds of fellowship activities were enthusiastically embraced by a great many. We are just like the children of Israel, journeying we know not where. But we can't go back. And in our wilderness wanderings, we need to hang on to God as God hangs on to us. We need faith. We need to seek to be obedient and to pray for guidance as we journey together. When the Apostle Paul was in Athens, I suspect that he felt a bit like a fish out of water, probably threatened, somewhat defensive, especially about his faith in Jesus. But he didn't view his time there, or in any of the great cities, he didn't view his time as a desert experience. Instead, he saw such places as providing him with great opportunities. And the best example, I think, of Paul making the most of the opportunities that he was given has to be the way in which he used all the things that he saw around him in Athens in order to make his point. He preached with a faith and an enthusiasm that touched and changed lives, because God was at work in him despite the circumstances in which he found himself. And despite the circumstances of today, there are also opportunities for us to grasp. In Britain, we are, generally speaking, we are living through a time of tolerance and liberality. Though we may question whether that's even being challenged with recent events. But today in this country, you can believe in almost anything, and no one will say anything about it. As long as what you believe and the actions that your belief leads to means that there is no threat to the well-being of another because of what you believe. Sexual activity in all its forms. Talk about the most basic activities of the human body. Exhibitionism. And all kinds of incredible beliefs, such as beliefs about communities that hide behind comets as they fly through space. I don't know if you heard about that one. Or people who believe in the gods who live in insects. Such beliefs are revealed and tolerated. And the media, especially the internet, has brought all of these things to our attention. And what the Victorians, to whom we owe a great debt and many reasons to be uncertain about when it comes to looking after the buildings they bequeath us, what the Victorians who covered their table legs for fear of revealing a bit of leg would think about our society today, goodness only knows. And yet, our tolerant and liberal society also includes within it a search for meaning, a search for spiritual experience. There are a great many people searching for hope, hope beyond life, life as we know it. And the search for the spiritual and openness to spiritual conversation, the possibility of spiritual experience, is a real opportunity into which Christians can speak the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of love and saving grace. For in our wilderness wanderings, these things are our Athenian opportunities. And if the Apostle Paul were to be your preacher tonight, well, I'm sure the sermon would be a lot longer. But I'm sure too that Paul would want to highlight the deep yearning that there is in the lives of a great many. And he would want to try and help us to see, and to help them to see, that what they are looking for can be found in Jesus. For it is Jesus who is the image of the invisible God. It is Jesus who reveals the most to us about God. It's Jesus who, in his death on the cross, breaks down the barriers that exist between me and God. It's Jesus who opens up the kingdom of heaven to all who will believe. And it's Jesus who comes to you and I, who wraps his arms of love around us, and who whispers, I love you. And we need to make his whisper heard by those who don't yet know him. So yes, we are journeying through change. And it feels at times as though we're wandering in a desert. Many of the support systems of the past have been stripped away, but the opportunities are as real today, if not more so, than they have ever been. And now, with Bruce as your new district chair, and together as a district, now you are embarking on a new ministry and new opportunities together. Together, both lay and ordained, all ministers, all disciples, together serving within the churches of this district, all coming together to continue and to begin ministry. For you are God's witnesses in this part of his world for this season. And together as ministers, both lay ministers and ordained ministers, you should do all you can to speak into the needs of the communities you serve. You should do all you can to make God's voice heard, to share God's love and God's grace with those who are searching for truth and searching for answers to the great questions of life and the great questions of death. Together, you are on a mission. Just as Jesus sent the 70 on a mission during his time with them, that same Jesus is now sending you. For this is your Galilee. This district is the place in which you together are called to be Jesus, to be his representatives, to be about his mission at this time. For here, there are people who need to hear the word of God, the word that forgives and loves. Here, there are people who need your prayers, who need to know that they are being held in God's love. Here, there are people who need the kind of loving service that you can offer, particularly in those places that fill the gaps because of inadequate provision by local authorities and others. Here, there are people who need to witness the example of your faith, your consistent, ongoing commitment, even when the chips are down, no matter what the weather is like, what the circumstances are, or who the preacher is. Here, there are people who need to see that faith in Jesus does and can make a difference, if only as they search for the spiritual, they would give Jesus a try. And I could only stand here tonight and commend my Saviour, because as the old saying goes, I've tried Christianity, and it works. It works. And so I pray of you. For that relationship with God that we enjoy, that relationship that enlivens and invigorates and gives renewing strength and vision as we live the Jesus way, is what sustains us as we journey together. So, the desert in which the children of Israel wandered, Athens at the time of St. Paul, Galilee in the days of Jesus. I wonder which of these places on our journey truly reflects how you feel today and where you and the district are heading. Are you wandering aimlessly in the desert, yearning for former days? Are you grasping the opportunities around you and seeking to make the most of them? Are you on a mission commissioned by Jesus to bring faith and hope and love and healing and peace to communities in need? Bruce has come to journey with you to take on leadership, pastoral and organisational responsibilities. What Bruce won't be doing is all the things that you should be doing together as the people of faith. For Bruce has not come to do things for you, but has come to do things with you, to work with you and encourage you in your mission. He won't undertake the mission for you, but he will go with you as you journey with God. And the measure of success of Bruce's ministry, if such a thing is possible, though I remind you the only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. Success will revolve around the way in which Bruce encourages and inspires you to take part in the mission. Or to put it another way, if faith is about carrying the needs of others and giving ourselves so that others might journey through life, are you helping to carry the burden, or are you part of it? Are you under the burden, helping to carry, or are you on top being carried? If you want ministers that will carry you, then I'm sorry, you're in the wrong church. If you want to grow in faith and service and share the burden, you are a welcome disciple as we mission together. And so Bruce has come to work with you for a season. I hope and pray it'll be a long season. Please welcome him, befriend him, cherish him, care for him so that he can care for you. And so the journey continues and the story unfolds. The story and the journey of wilderness wanderings, of opportunities in Athens and of mission in Galilee. And the journey continues in Lincoln and in Grimsby and in all the other places that there are within this district. And as you commit yourselves in a few moments' time to journey together, I pray that you may know the God who is in the desert, in Athens and Galilee. And I pray that you may know that he is with you today, tomorrow, and in all the days to come. Amen.